Good morning. Now, just while I get myself sorted, I hit a bit of a personal milestone yesterday. I went down to town, and I picked up my first ever pair of glasses. So, look, I'm just sort of getting used to, you know, forgive me if there's a bit of this and that, because I'm getting used to when I need them and when I don't. Anyway, my new glasses. And have you ever noticed how advertisers love the word new? They sort of, it's a way to hook you in, because if they say, this is the newest technology, or the latest model, or the on-point season trend, then you're much more likely to buy it. But Jesus too came to us, or came to this world, and said, I have got a new way of doing things. I am bringing to you good news about a new kingdom. A new way, a new order. And the Sermon on the Mount, which we've been looking at over the past few weeks, is almost like Jesus' inaugural address, his opening speech, which sets out the principles of this new way of living. We heard Ian started off a couple of weeks ago, and that passage there, sorry, if we keep on getting these, any way of getting rid of these knocks in the sound? No? Okay. We'll keep going if it continues. My glasses? You're blaming my glasses? Anyway, this new way. A couple of weeks ago, Ian talked about the opening of Matthew 5. And Jesus said something like this. You know how you give priority to the people who are successful? The people who are self-assured and sufficient and strong? Well, in this new way that I'm coming to tell you about, instead, there is a blessing for those who haven't got it all together. There is a blessing for those who are humble. There is a blessing for those who know they need help. Last week, Zach talked to us about the middle part of chapter 5. And Jesus said something like this. You know how in the old way the law was do not murder? Well, in my new way, you must not even think angry thoughts about someone. In our passage today, it said this. You have heard it said in the old way, revenge is okay. An eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Well, in this new way that I'm coming to tell you about, my new way, you must not seek revenge. In the old way, it said you must love your neighbors. And in my new way, I say to you, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. So Jesus presented them, and he presents us today with a new way of doing things. Now, advertisers, when they talk about a new way or a new product, they mean something better, sort of faster, more sustainable, cheaper, more easier, more convenient. But Jesus seemed to have missed out on marketing 101. His new way is tough. It's difficult, it's exacting, it's challenging. Because in this new way, at the heart of it, you don't get what you deserve. You don't get what you deserve. In verse 38 of today's passage, it said, you have heard it said in the old way, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Well, that is from Moses' laws to the Israelites when he set out how they could get revenge. And what their rules were for personal injuries. So it was an eye for an eye. If you lose a hand, you can take a hand. If you get a bruise, you can give a bruise. And the whole legal code was set up to prevent some sort of retributive, spiraling, destructive revenge that would get out of hand. It was a law that limited wholesale retribution, but it also meant that if you did something wrong, well, you would get what you deserved. You would get the punishment that fit the crime. You get what is coming to you. But the thing is that eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth is not just an ancient rule of thumb. It's how we all live. You insult me, I won't talk to you. You don't stand up for me at work, I won't support you. You ignore me, well, I won't go out of my way to speak to you now. You don't come and see me or look after me when things are not going well, well, you're on your own. I'm not going to come and see you when you're sick. Lex talionis, the law of tit for tat. It's the oldest law in the book. We all knew it by the time we were two. He did it first. Wasn't my fault she started it. It's so deep. You do what you need to do to make sure that other people get what they deserve and you get what you deserve. You don't take things lying down. You give back what you get. You make sure that you get what you deserve and that other people get what they've got coming to you. But Jesus' new way completely turns this on its head because it's now no longer the way of getting what you deserve. If somebody does you wrong, you don't do back to them what they've done to you. Instead of an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, Jesus says, do not resist an evil person. And even when our hearts are screaming out, saying that is so unfair, they deserve some kind of retaliation. They deserve to get something back for what they've done to me. They deserve some consequences. Jesus said, do it anyway. Don't seek revenge. If I was to slap somebody across the cheek and they were standing in front of me, now I'm a righty, and if I'm to slap them on their right cheek, I'd need to go like that with the back of my hand. To slap somebody in those days with the back of your hand was far more just than some physical assault. It was hugely, hugely insulting. It was a terrible thing to do, to slap them with the back of your hand, much worse than with the front. And so imagine someone's done something to you that really sort of assaults the essence of who you are and your dignity. And Jesus says in verse 39, rather than seeking recompense for that act and that insult, gladly endure it again. And when everything in us says, what? There is no way I deserve to be treated like that. They shouldn't be getting away with this. Jesus says, do it anyway. Turn the other cheek. In those days, you would usually have two items of clothing. You'd have a shirt that you'd wear against your skin, and then you'd have a coat that goes over the top. Now, even a poor person would have probably one or two shirts. But you would only ever have one coat. It was a thicker garment, and then you would wear it at night to keep you warm. In Jewish law, if you were being sued, you could be sued for your shirt, but you could not be sued for your coat. Because if you lost your coat, you'd be destitute and cold at night. And so you can imagine that if Jesus is saying, if someone sues you for your shirt, give them your coat as well, you'd be going, what? I deserve my coat. I'm going to be left cold at night. Jesus says, do it anyway. Give him your coat. There's more. Verse 41. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, then go with them 2. In those days, if you lived in a land that was occupied by the Roman soldiers, as the Jews were, they could, by law, force you, compel you to carry their stuff for up to 1 Roman mile. But that was the limit, so it was carefully limited to make sure that they could make you do something, but it was sort of limited. But in the new way that Jesus sets out, he says you should gladly go beyond your duty. And you would be in your rights to say, this soldier doesn't deserve any more than I absolutely have to do. And Jesus says, do it anyway. Go with him too. So in this new way, Jesus sets out how we are to behave and to respond and react when we're treated wrongly. How to respond when we don't get what we deserve. But this new way also sets out how we should react or how we should behave proactively to others. The old way in Leviticus 19 says that you have to love your neighbors. Well, yeah, but it makes sense to love your neighbors, right? Because when you're down in your luck, they'll look after you. It's in your interest to treat people you like well. Because if you don't, you'll end up suffering. And things won't go so well for you. And I think sometimes we need to be really honest that even our greatest acts of altruism are actually rather veiled attempts at looking after ourselves. We invite people around because we know that they will invite us around. We are kind to rich and influential people because we know that there might be a time when they will be able to look after us in return. We are generous because we know that we may be public to people that we know who may publicly thank us or appreciate us or acknowledge what we've done. We make sure that we know before we do something to somebody else that they are deserving of our love or generosity. But in this new way, this hard way, Jesus says, don't just love your neighbors, love your enemies. Anyone can love your neighbors, even the tax collectors, but do good to those who hate you. Be good to those who don't deserve it. Do acts of kindness that won't get acknowledged. Do things for people who will never be able to do things back for you. We may not be thanked or acknowledged or recognized, but Jesus is saying that this is the real test of whether we are truly loving. I just want to just sort of pause here and just make sure that you really hear me on this. What Jesus is not saying is that you must never say no to people. What Jesus is not saying is that you must stay in a relationship or a situation that is abusive. He is not saying that you must never put up boundaries. All of us who are parents in here know that to be truly loving, we know sometimes need to say no, we need to have hard conversations, we need to put up boundaries. But what Jesus is saying is that our obligation, our only duty, is to love, and that sometimes love takes wisdom, it takes courage. And that our new way of doing things is not about giving people what they deserve. But how do we do this? How do we do something that is so antithetical to the basic way that we are made? If, as I read this passage, I know that I am much nicer to people who are nice to me. There was somebody this year who I felt wronged me, and I'm still planning in my head, fantasizing about what I'd like to say to her because I think she didn't get what she deserved. If people ask me to do things that I don't feel that I need to, I feel resentful. And if I'm criticized, my hackles go up on my back. And I want to do the same in return. And probably you're the same. And there's something about this passage that just wants to drop you, make you drop the Bible on the floor and say, I can't do it. It's too hard. This new way, Jesus, that you're putting before us, it's way, way, way beyond anything that I can do. You are asking me to do something that's absolutely impossible, and I quit. And the truth is that there is something about this new way of living that runs so against, so that's something that's so deep in our hearts. And if we're to live in this new way that Jesus is calling us to, then something very fundamental in us needs to change. So what is that change, and where do we get the resources and the power and the new life, and so that we can live in this new way? And I want to say this morning that I think this is what will change things. This is where we will get the power and the resource to live in this new way. A few chapters later from where we read this morning, Jesus, who lived a perfect, sinless life, was tortured and punished and killed. And he didn't deserve it. And he never sought revenge. Mockers gathered around him and insulted him and slapped him. And he allowed them to continue. Jesus, with some help from a friend, was forced to carry his cross out of the city and up a hill, and he was crucified, and he never complained. His executioners took his shirt and his coat and left him naked, and he prayed and he blessed those who did that to him. Jesus knows exactly what it's like to get what you don't deserve. Jesus knows exactly what it's like to get what you don't deserve. And more than that, he knows that he gives us what we don't deserve. He gives to us what we don't deserve, because he did all of that for us, and not because we deserved it. In Romans 5:8, it says, while we were still sinners in a place of undeserving, Christ died for us, an act of love that was totally undeserved. In Isaiah 53, it says, he got the punishment, that which was undeserved, so that we could get the peace, also undeserved. He got the stripes so we could get the healing. He was made a prisoner so that we could go free. In Romans 6:23, and I could go on, there are so many other verses like this, but in 6:23 it says, Romans 6:23, it says, the wages, what you get as a result of, because you deserve it, the wages of sin are death, but the free gift of God, that which is undeserved, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. In order to live this new way which Christ is calling us to, we need to throw ourselves on Jesus Christ himself. And it's the extent to which we take what he did for us on the cross, and we think about the act of communion which we're about to move into. We think about, as we enter Lent and this period of Easter, where he got what he did not deserve so that we could also get what we don't deserve. To the extent is that we take that in, reflect on it, chew it, bed it down and live it out, that we will be able to live this new way that he's calling us to. Let's pray. Father, as we hear your call to live in this new way, to love without measure, to not give back what we think someone else deserves, to treat people in a way that we don't think they deserve. Lord, we feel challenged, we feel overwhelmed, and we think we can't do it. But we also know that you're calling us to look at you on the cross, where you gave us what we didn't deserve. And we want to thank you for that. We want to thank you for your grace and your mercy, and we pray that by your Spirit you would make that truth real to us and more real to us day by day, so that we can live out what you're calling us to do in this new way. Amen.